Good morning, and welcome to the Lord's house this St. Patrick's Day. I see a lot of green out there, and a lot of people who forgot. So, in any case, like to welcome, first of all, welcome Bob McGee back to our congregation. He's well known to most of us, and well, it's always good to see you, Bob. Flowering of the Cross, we're still taking up donations for Flowering of the Cross. If you'd care to make a donation in honor or in memory of someone special, just fill out the form in your bulletin, drop it in the plate that's passed, send it to the office, and this will be done before both services on Easter Sunday morning. Next week will be the last day for donations for Flowering of the Cross. Last Lenten Supper is this Wednesday as well. Next Sunday starts first day of Holy Week, Palm Sunday already, next Sunday, coming up fast. Please join us for our last supper, Lenten Supper. We've been privileged to have Dennis provide us with messages during that time, and we'll wrap that up this week. There are on the back foyer, we have information sheets for not only summer camp at Tall Oaks, but our first information sheets going out for VBS, which is, in as always, in July. Camp opportunities literally for every single age group, literally. There's adult camps, family camps, grandparent camps, kid camps. So, there's no reason not to go to camp. And please take a look in your bulletin for the upcoming committee meetings, and men's and women's group meetings are all in the calendar. And I think that's about it for this week. Ryan, would you lead us in our call to worship, please?
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Raise your voices in response to God's goodness. Lift your hearts in sweet surrender to God's mercy. Praise God, His love and mercy never fail. We'll now sing hymn number 53, All Stanzas of Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
We praise you, O God, and we thank you for the blessings that are ours every day. Forbid that we should take them for granted, We thank you for this church, for its pastors. We thank you for its people who are concerned and filled with your love and your desire of service. Dear Lord, we pray for the pastor and for his wife. We pray for our congregation as we move into that season of Palm Sunday, and when we celebrate the greatest event that has ever happened in our life or in the life of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Take away our doubts, fill us with hope. Be with those who are discouraged, renew their faith this day, and we'll give you the praise and honor through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Good morning, church. This time is for you to greet one another and do it with love and enthusiasm and hope.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Yeah? Are we all good? Well, we're going to do a quick run through on our display that we've been putting up here week after week. So we started with our foundation, didn't we? And do you remember what the foundation of our faith is? What did we say our foundation is? God, right? God is the foundation of our faith. Yes. Then what do? We added a path. And that, Jesus. Jesus is our path to God, isn't he? If we believe and follow Jesus, He's our path to God. We added grass and flowers. Once we follow that path, we grow like the grass and the flowers grow each and every spring and regrow. We grow when we follow Jesus. Last week, we added our three crosses. Do you remember what this writing on this front cross is? Love. Yes, that's the Hebrew letters for love. And we put that on our cross because it took an awful lot of love for God to send Jesus to us, and an awful lot of love from Jesus that he would give himself so we could be saved, huh? Yeah. This week, what did we add? We added a tomb, didn't we? Yep. And so after Jesus was crucified, they took him down from the cross, wrapped him in linens, and put him in the tomb, didn't they? Then what? They rolled what? A big old boulder in front of it, didn't they? That's how they sealed tombs at that time. Like big old boulders in front of them so the people couldn't get in. Do we think that's going to work? No. We're going to talk about that next week. Shall we have a prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these children. Thank you for this season, this Lenten season, this Eastertide, this time when we celebrate with great joy your great love and the love that Jesus showed for us. Help us each and every day to feel the love and the blessings and pass it on to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Gail Gentry, and I am co-chairman of the elders, and I am here to bring the pastoral concerns for this week. First of all, Jerry Donahue was released to go home from North Kansas City Hospital on Friday. They were hoping he would go into Ignite Rehab, but that did not work out, so he has gone home. I talked with Betty, and she said he had a good night, but then on Saturday, both of them seemed to have some kind of a stomach bug, so I hope they're doing better from that. Russell Stewart is going to begin chemotherapy on March the 26th, and it will be every 2 weeks for 6 months. Further scans showed that he does have no other signs of cancer, so that's very good news. Luella Scott, unfortunately, had to return back to North Kansas City Hospital. They were concerned about it being a possible stroke. That was not the case, and it's some sort of a brain-type seizure. I don't really know what that is exactly, but she was moved from the ICU yesterday to hospice, and Melody and Alyssa said that she definitely needs our prayers, so they're going through a really hard time. We also learned that Sue Effie will be having heart surgery to replace the mitral valve on Friday, March the 22nd at North Kansas City Hospital. And then an update on Pastor Dennis. He is preparing for surgery on Thursday, March the 21st. He did have a reprieve from his pain, and in fact, some of us got to see him at church last week at game day. We were here and we drove up and Doug said, "I think that's Pastor Dennis's truck." And I said, "No." And it was, and he was here getting some stuff done at the office, but he walked in and it was just really great to see him, and he was very thankful to have a little relief of pain. But now he has had to stop some of the pain medication because he has to be off of it for a week before surgery. So he's kind of back in the pain mode again. The surgery will begin at noon, and it's supposed to take 5 hours. He's not sure if he is going to go to a rehabilitation place, but when he is going to be released, he will be living with Jonathan and Natalie, as Natalie is at home during the day with her kids. So at least that will be good news. And we just pray for continued healing and comfort for all of these people, as well as many others who are recovering from illness, surgery, and loss. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. It's very important to keep in touch with our church family. Reverend Dennis' patience and Carrie have done a great job here as pastor. He's a wonderful minister. I don't have to tell you that. He's built up our church. He's been there when we needed him. And now it's your church, it's your time to minister to Dennis and his family, to support him, to encourage him, to call him, to reach out to him, because he's been there for you, and we know how important it is to know that we're loved of God and we're appreciated. And while I'm on that subject, we're honored today to have our regional pastor with us, Bill Roseheim. And Bill, if you'd stand up, we'd like to acknowledge your presence with us today. And he married a beautiful lady, which came out of the Central Christian Church in Kansas City, Kansas, where I used to be the pastor for her mother and father. And her father was totally blind, but he knew the church well, and he served as an elder. And when we asked him to be elder, he said, "Well, I'd like to, Bob, but I can't see. I don't know that I could handle the elements." I said, "You don't worry about that. I'll handle the elements. You just give the prayers." And when he served on Sunday morning, we were taken up into heaven by his words, I tell you. It was moving, moving. But, you know, I think it's important that we serve together, and for we need each other, and we are loved by God. And yesterday, I went down to the North Kansas City St. Patrick's Day Parade. And guess who I met? Casey Wolf. And I was just as excited about it as the children. I just happened to be there in the lobby of the City Hall, and Casey came along, gave me a hug, and shook my hand. And he went outside, and the children gathered around, and people were getting pictures and all. And you know, he represents the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure you knew that. And then I saw people there that went around and they had a sign, John 3:16. And I wonder if people knew as much about that as they did about Casey Wolf's and the Chiefs. And then there was something else that's kind of interesting. When Jesus came during the parade, for the Last Supper, you know, that parade, there was a man that crawled up in a tree one time when he came by, and Jesus said, "Come down, I'm going to have lunch with you." But the point being is that in 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating the greatest event in the world has ever known. And I wonder if our friends, our neighbors, our family, and if we know about it. If we've told everybody about it, and if we got as excited about it as our children get excited about seeing Casey Wolf. Gave me something to think about. So anyway, as we think about those who have special needs in our congregation, those who are in the hospital, and those concerns which are on your heart and mine, Johnny, Russell, Sue, and all the rest, and particularly our pastor, Dennis and Carrie, let's take them and lift them up before the Lord. We thank you, O God, for the change of seasons. As we move into spring, we see life reemerging all around us. And we are thankful that what seemed dead and passive a few weeks ago is now alive and vibrant and fervent. And we thank you for the new life, the promise of hope and eternity. We thank you, O Lord, especially for the pastor of this congregation, for his hard work and his diligent efforts, for his concern for us. And we thank you, and we ask that you would fill us with love and forgiveness as we pray for those who have special concerns and needs now. Particularly, we lift up John and Johnny and Russell and Sue and Kim and Gail and all the rest, O Lord. We lift up our region and our regional pastor, Bill Rose Himes, and the concerns that our churches have and those churches which are needing pastors. We pray, O Lord, for your spirit of love and forgiveness fall upon us. Grant us to be more tolerant people, more understanding, more patient. We ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Within thy house forever.
very much, Ryan. I just returned shortly from our 24th annual medical dental mission to Jamaica. We took 40 people, five physicians, eight nurses, three dentists, one eye doctor and an assistant, and four ladies who taught sewing. And we have one in the congregation today who went last year that helped with sewing. I'm told by the Jamaican Ministry of Health that we have the largest group that comes from anywhere in the United States or the world to bring services to their country. And over the last 24 years, we have served 50,000 Jamaicans. Our goal is to serve at least 2,000 a year. And in the process, we've taken over $2 million worth of medicines and over $7 million worth of services. We do three or four avenues of service. The first is medical through our nurse practitioners and our doctors and our nurses. We serve anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 folks. And then through our dentist, each dental procedure is an operation, and that we have a number of extractions. And this year we've added restorations or restoring the teeth. And then third is a very important thing is seeing. And I remind you that a couple of years ago, we had an older gentleman who came in and he had his white cane and he was pecking along. And he said, I want to see the eye doctor. And we took him back and he came back and he had those big thick Coke glasses that Harry Truman used to be pictured with. And he said, I can see. And he had his cane all folded up under his arm, and his daughters were following him. And it was his joy. Another thing that's very, very important is our medicine. Because, you know, when you go to the doctor and he says, well, you got such and such, and he writes you out a prescription, and you can run and get it filled. Well, they don't have any places up there in the hill country. And I had one of our church paper a number of years ago said, well, there's no poverty down there in Jamaica. I said, well, you need to get away from the resorts and go about 200 yards back up and you'll see some poverty because they don't have the funds to come down. There's no place to buy pharmacy products. And of course, another thing that's very important is the girls. The girls drop out of school a fourth of the time because there's no place to buy sanitary napkins and they just don't go. And so we teach them how to sew. Well, Jesus invites us to a higher quality of life when he says, come follow me. And it's our privilege to be disciples and together. And if we're CE disciples only, that means just Christmas and Easter disciples, we miss a lot. We miss a lot. Well, we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday and Easter week in just 2 weeks from now. And so it's a real honor for us to get recharged and re-excited about being a disciple of Jesus. And so we invite you to come today and celebrate. And remember, as we eat, we eat to the glory of God. As we drink the cup, we do it to the glory of God. You're invited by our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he included you, each one of you.
To us in breaking bread, but do not but then depart. Savior, abide with us and spread thy table in our heart. There sup with us in love divine, thy body and thy blood, that living bread, that heavenly wine, be our immortal food.
And when Jesus our Lord was gathered in the upper room with his disciples, on the same night that he was betrayed by one of them, Jesus took the loaf, and when he had given thanks to God, he took it and broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, the Lord took the cup, and when he had given thanks to God, he said unto his followers, "Drink of it, all of you, for as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table in loving memory of your Son Jesus, we ask forgiveness of those times we have fallen short of doing your will. We thank you and ask your blessings upon this bread and cup, emblems of Jesus' broken body and spilt blood on the cross, given so that we might have eternal life. As we silently take each element, grant us courage and wisdom that we might reflect your love in our daily life. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Now it becomes our wonderful privilege and opportunity to share with the Lord the love which we have received from him. Freely as you have received the blessings of God, let us give. Let us give, or we're still living, because then we'll be unknowing where it's a-going.
Let us pray. As we come to you this morning with our tithes and our offerings, gracious God, accept these gifts, and with them our lives, to be used in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, thank you for loving us so much. May these gifts reflect our love for you and our dedication and commitment to you and your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, amen. It's a really great time to be back with you after a number of years. When I served, I think it's about 8 years ago, and Pastor Dennis and his dear wife Carrie came, and he's done a great job. And he's been a wonderful pastor. I don't have to tell you that, because it reflects in your faces and in your love for the church and everything that you are. The scripture lesson this morning is a story about Jesus calling some of his disciples, Matthew. And when my first son was born, when my only son was born, I named him Matthew. And I thought, well, it'd be wonderful if I had four sons. I'd name them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then my second child was a daughter, Robin. And after I had two children, I realized, well, it takes a little more effort than just wishing to raise children. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. And then the second passage of Scripture is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And when Jesus called Matthew, he gave up a lucrative job, a very secure job with the state, and followed Jesus. And when we think about the second scripture lesson, rejoice always. Now that's a little bit harder to do. Can you rejoice always at what comes to you, particularly as we face the changes of life? Grow a little bit older in the seasons of life, and as we grow older, it's a season of change. Yes, I don't have as much hair as I used to. It went on a vacation. Or we have the changes in our eyesight, and in our hearing, and our ability to walk, and many other changes that we see. But think about it. When Paul is writing this scripture of encouragement to the church at Thessalonica, he's in prison there in Rome, down in the bowels of the earth, chained between two guards. And still he's witnessing, he's converting people by his testimony, by his convictions. Yeah, but he says, rejoice always. Well, that's not easy to do. Especially if you're going through the loss of a child or the loss of a mate, or if you're experiencing the loss of some health, or you're having to give up your ability to drive and get around and come to church like you do. These changes of life are not all they're cracked up to be. You know what it's like. I don't have to tell you. Because one of the interesting things about being an interim, after I retired, I was in about 8 different situations. And on the first Sunday, people always showed up and they had a big smile on their face and they were very optimistic about their church and they would smile. And yet I knew that behind every smile there was a concern. Some of the people were happy that the pastor had moved on, some were sad. But even beyond that, I knew that in everybody's happy heart, there was some concern that they had in their family or some problem that they were thinking about. And only as I got to know them and got to be their temporary pastor for them did I come to find out about that. One of the things that happened this year in our medical, dental, optical mission, sewing mission, was that about 2 weeks before, or about a week and a half before I left, a young man in a congregation which helps to support our mission came to me and he said, "Oh, Dr. Bob, I really would like to go. I'd really like to go sometime with you on the mission." Well, it just so happened that the day before, my nephew had flown in from California to watch the Super Bowl with us, and he told us that he wasn't going to be able to go this year because he had an eye surgery coming up, but just go ahead and take my cost of the trip and use it. And so when this young man came up to me and said this, I said, "Well, do you have a passport?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I will tell you what, if you really want to go, you want to go this year?" "Oh, yes, I do, I do." I said, "Go home and talk to your folks. And go and talk with your school people, and then if you get affirmative answer, come back, And about 2 or 3 hours later, he said, well, my folks said it's okay. And I told him to fill out the papers and talk with the school people, which he did. And he had his papers, four or five pages of paperwork, all filled out in a couple of hours. And it was wonderful because he's so loved by his congregation. He's a young guy, 18 years old. And the thing I noticed every Sunday morning, he'd go around and he'd hug us old folks and tell us, you know, I sure love you. And you know, we like that. We like that. And he brought a love and an enthusiasm to the mission with two of my granddaughters were along, and the young people, they bring a vibrancy. They bring an excitement. And so I'm going to work on that for the future. A few years ago, I was serving with a church as an interim pastor, and they were having a very deep discussion about an important issue the church was facing. The discussion was heated and a little bit divisive, and I was afraid it might get out of hand there because people on both sides had a pretty strong opinion, and all of a sudden, one of the trusted, respected elders said, well, what do you think, Mom? And I thought, well, you know, he said, after all, that's what we kind of pay you for, is for your experience, and you're in a job to help us. And what do you think? Well, what do you think? What do you think? The church is at a junction. We need everyone. We go out in this world to serve Jesus Christ. And in the medical dental mission, we take these medicines. We take this enthusiasm, but I keep saying, service above self, service above self. Because it is Jesus Christ that we're seeking to serve and honor. And I told the people that night what my opinion was, and what really surprises me was that we like to give our opinion. And sometimes we like to give our opinions more to our grandkids than they're ready to hear. But do we listen to them? Do we keep the door open to them? Do we come to listen to what they're saying? Oh, Christian believers, the church needs you as it's never needed before. We need to be a part of the family. We are accepted by God. We have a mission to do, regardless of your age. And it's so much fun to see the excitement of the children, of the young people. And our mission is not only to bring health and service and healing, but to also bring our faith in Jesus Christ. On the first night that we arrive, we get settled in. I ask everybody to do two things. Take two bags, one for yourself and one of the medicines. And so we have about 25 to 30 bags of medicines, and we have four rows of tables, long tables, and two at the end. And we put all this medicine out on that table, and we have to break it down because they want the medicines in a bulk so they can see what it is. Some people say, well, it'd be a lot easier if you just mailed it. Yeah, you could mail it. You could mail $50,000 and you might find it. You might not. Or they might mail it to another place and then you got to go find it. So it's better just to have it with you, believe me. But we had all this medicine set out on these 10 tables, and this Jamaican guy come in, and he was one of the elders of the church, and he looked at this and he said, where did all of this medicine come from? And I said, from the Christian people in America. people who love the Lord and who are sharing in your health. Because I learned a long time ago from a man up not far from this place. He said to me, if you do something for a man, for his wife or his children, he'll remember it forever. And that's true. And I said, you know, churches, you helped to send that. Because I remember about this time last year or in the summer, I received a check from the outreach committee for $500, and they bought $5,000 worth of medicine. And the church is not perfect. Nobody has to tell a minister that, because we know that ministers are not perfect. But I tell you, when it really gets down, the chips get down, you can count on the Christian people. You can count on the church people to help you and to be a part of something great and good, because we show our love for Jesus Christ in that way. And so I said it came from people of America. And it's kind of like the experience one day we went to church on Sunday at this very humble church out in the middle of nowhere. It's called Hayward Hall, but it's a beautiful church. And there were about 15 or 20 people worshiping there, and there was about 10 or 12 Americans walked in and sat down. And the lady pastor said to me later, she said, I didn't know what to think that day, because you were from a big country and we're a small country. You were from a rich country and we're a poor country. You were from America. I didn't know what to think. But now that you've been here and you've worked with my people and you've served them and helped them and been their dentist and relieved their pain, I now come to believe that you were angels sent from the Lord to help us. Well, I've been called a lot of things in life, but not to that point an angel. But I was glad to hear it of my team. Yes, we are called. We're called. We have come to help. We have come to bring the good news to the glory of God. We thank God that we have the opportunity to serve. We have come to bring the good news of the gospel, the evangelion, the good news, in our own way. Some do it. The Kansas City Wolf is there to publicize the Chiefs. And believe me, even people down there in the island country know about the Chiefs. But also, we are there to share our faith, that we are, in a sense, going in the name of Jesus. Because the first verse that I remember learning as a child was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him. We're trying to live out the great commission of going, doing, and serving. And we each one have our own way of doing it. And sometimes we think that somebody else's way may be a little bit different, but you never get new members into your church. And I am really impressed with the church family here, that you're bringing people to Jesus Christ. You have to get them through the front door. You have to discover whether it's the new day of pickleball on Sunday or on free ball on Saturday, free pickleball or whatever, serving people's needs, listening to people's hurts is important. We had 8 young people, and they added a lot. And our churches need more young people. I don't have to tell you that. You see it, you know it. But one of the things that I discovered was it was important to invite young people, because they went out. We have doctors who are serving right down in North Kansas City who came because of the mission effort. It opened up vocational opportunities to nurses. I know of a nurse who who has a doctor's degree in nursing, who's in charge of a clinic, who started out by holding a child. Yes, it's a new way, and that's why it's important that we stand and we help and we save our church camp, Tall Oaks, because I was 18 years old when I went to a church camp. And that year we were emphasizing the importance of church vocations. And it was there I was moved to stand out. Yes, that's what I want to consider doing. And my children went to church camp. And my grandchildren went to church camps. And a couple of years ago, the region said, well, I don't know if we can keep up the church camp anymore. And you know, it was interesting that some of the young people who had been to church camp said, we can't have this, we need the church camp. So now it's time for us to act, to give yourself, to stand with the young people for Tall Oaks. And those young people encouraged us old fogies to dig down a little bit deeper and to begin to say, because we want to be a part of something great. Oh, I had walked life's way with an easy tread. I had gone where pleasures led. Till one day in a quiet place, I heard the Master. I met him face to face. Friends, we can serve together. You have done a great job, and you will continue just as you have in the past. It's all good. God bless you in that effort. God loves you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the dedicated leaders, and we thank you for the wonderful ministry of Dennis. And we pray for your Spirit to guide us into the future and to inspire us and to encourage us. For the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of the church, we pray. Amen. Let's see, what did I do with my bulletin? Anyway, at this time, there's someone who would like to respond. We invite you to come in the invitation hymn as we sing 595, Be Thou My Vision. If you would like to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or by transfer of membership to this Christian fellowship here, would you come this morning?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. Great God of heaven, my treasure thou art. Great God of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joy, so bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever the fall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
power, glory, and dominion, now and forevermore. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things you have done with his blood. Christ has saved me with your power.